together.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I am Rachel C. My guest tonight, I think you are the first three-time guest on the show.
Hell,
Lane
yeah.
Moore is
yeah,
here.
Yeah, hi.
And
hi.
We're going to be talking a lot about an upcoming performance that she that is scheduled for Arlene's Grocery this weekend. There's going to be a series of 90s-era soundtrack shows, and in the spirit of that, we're going to kick things off with something off of Singles. This is State of Love and Trust. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Free Brooklyn. Lane and I are back from our little chat. Okay, so Here and Now with Rachel C. celebrates live performance culture and activism in the arts. And on so, you know, we want you to go out and do the thing. And on that note, I have a listing of places you can go and things to do within the next week or so, because I want you to go out and do that thing. Okay. This Saturday, we had a whole show dedicated to this about 2 weeks ago, but I want to remind you all about it. This Saturday is a Celebrate Red Hook Festival in Red Hook, at the park down by the IKEA. It's Brooklyn. That's all you have to say. The park down by IKEA and Red Hook. That's going during the day, 10 to 6. It's a one-day thing. A lot of great bands. Marilyne Jenkins, who is on the show, Lizzie and the Makers, who are on the show, will be performing live. Also that Saturday, this is from 7 to 10, though. You can make it a whole day thing. Over at Star Bar, that's 214 Star Street in Brooklyn, Annie Cordero is performing. She's doing a set. Ticket sales are benefiting the Center for Constitutional Rights. Annie Cordero came on Here and Now a while back with Tough Sunshine when she was drumming with them, and she's got a solo project out now, so I encourage you guys to check that out. Also on Saturday, happening at Coney Island, USA, 1208 Surf Avenue from 10 p.m. to midnight. This is brought to you by Badass Burlesque producer and former Here and Now guest and my friend Velocity Child, Michael Formica Jones and Contessa Mocha. Bring you a night of passionate, politically provocative performance art via burlesque. It's called the Trump Dump. Velocity's putting out two Trump Dump shows a year. They're fabulous. Go catch this one. One more listing for you. Former guest Tatiana Eva Marie and her Zazu Swing Orchestra. You can catch them on September 16th, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Hotel Chantel, 92 Ludlow Street. I basically have a 24-hour span there that I just gave you. And of course, there's the show Friday, tomorrow, at Arlene's Grocery. That and Lane's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But this is it's basically... It's her band, It Was Romance, and the other band, again, is
Jounce.
Jounce, and you guys are doing music from the film Empire Records.
Exactly, yeah, because it's not just exclusive to the soundtrack, because the soundtrack actually doesn't have a lot of the best songs from the movie. Right. So, like, there's so many where you're just like, wait, what? There's so many great songs in the soundtrack. It's like, I don't know who chose
this. Empire Records is one of those movies which... I don't want to say became typical of the 90s, but you saw that this kind of storytelling format where it was in several 90s movies where it's like the whole movie happens over the course of the day.
Yes.
So it takes place over the course of a day. And it's the characters are basically record store employees back when you still had a lot of those.
Right.
So yeah, it's just music constantly there.
Yeah, just so much. And there were so many. And I think what was so interesting for me and, you know, listening to that soundtrack and looking back is it's like, it was a lot of bands who like, not every band was the biggest band in the world of that soundtrack. And even if they were, like, even the Cranberry songs on there weren't like the Cranberries hits. Even the Gin Blossom songs weren't like the Gin Blossom songs you knew. It was a lot of like deep cuts, bands you'd never heard of, but like such incredible music. It's like one of the best soundtracks of all time, hands down.
Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of times, well, this is still true to a certain extent. You
on
know,
the band movie, will cut, not the CD.
Band will cut a record, and there'll be intentionally certain things that are more marketable than others.
Yeah.
And it's because sometimes the really good music might not be considered commercial enough. Won't get the airplay. Yeah. And this is also, this takes place back, with this movie, what was that? That was 95, that movie, I think?
I think so, or 96. I want to say maybe,
or 96.
Around there.
And, you know, music was different then. Like, you know, in that, you know, album sales were how bands made money. And that's not really how bands make money.
Yeah. And so, what is?
So now maybe, you know, maybe that you know, I'm wondering if that's leading certain musicians to care less about, like, having certain marketable commercial tracks but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like that is definitely a way, you know, I look at a lot of, you know, if you get your song placed on like a TV show, that's like huge.
Well, that's huge, yeah.
So it's like there is that.
That's car commercial, done.
Yeah, exactly. Done. And it's so funny because I feel like the days of being like, that's selling out. It's like, no, that's like being able to afford to eat. Like at this in 2017, it's like, I would like to be able to afford to keep playing music.
Yeah.
Money.
I would, like for those of you who haven't heard Lane before on the show or aren't familiar, you also write, you do a series of live performances called Tinder Live, which is going on tour, and we can talk about that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it's like, is it, well,
it's,
I mean, think,
so different.
You know, there's a time, it's just structured differently with the way things are streamed. So now it's like concert ticket sales and merch, which
It
means more live performances, which is great, but yeah, it's a whole other.
It's just crazy, yeah. And it's like, even, you know, in the city, it can be weird too when you're booking shows, and it's just like, oh, well, you have to make like $500 at the door, and if you don't make $500, then you make nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, $500, it's like, what is that? Like, you have to bring 50 friends. just to make what they want. It's like, what? So it's like, it's music's just so weird.
You're not giving like friend prices to.
Right. And then it's like, you can only do that. You know, it's like so many times. So it's just a weird market for those people who are listening and do not know that and have not read the like 12,000 internet articles that are saying that like it's weird. It's a weird time to make music.
It is. But like, so like, hats off to people who are doing it because you're obviously doing it because you love it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're doing it because you love it. It's like, you know what's up and you don't care, which I think there's something kind of nice about that. I'm hoping there is some sort of, you know, the pendulum can swing back where it's like, we can make good money doing something that's, you know, a valid, yeah. a valid profession.
You're obviously really passionate about it among, that kind of stands out to me that you're passionate about music among all the things that you do. Because, I mean, it's something that if even on social media, like, there's no reason to post your kitchen karaoke. You do it. You just like love singing in the kitchen. It's like so obvious.
I'm singing and listening to music and dancing and writing songs all the time. And that became kind of like, I love doing the kitchen karaoke stuff on Instagram because it's like, it kind of lets people into, I think, what a big part of, like, music has helped me survive my life. I'm never not listening to it. It just like makes my life. But like, I remember when I first moved here and I met this guy. And we were walking, he was just showing me around New York City and I was like, oh my God, I wish I had my headphones right now. I could be listening to something. He was like, no, what? Don't shut it out. I'm like, I'm not shutting it out. I'm like enhancing it by listening to music set with how beautiful this is. Like, that's just how I live. Like, I don't know.
Right. I hear you. City's got a soundtrack of its own. Right. So how did this particular, so it's happening tomorrow. The doors are at 10. Arlene's Grocery, yes. Which one of, you know, anyone who listens to my show knows I'm sometimes becomes a lamentation. The venues that were to be there, they provided the platform. Arlene's is one of those and it's still there.
Yeah.
So how did this come to be? Because I know this is sort of like, could be a template for a series. So basically the two bands are going to go in there and you're going to be doing songs. And there are so many songs featured in the movie Empire Records. Why Empire Records? What spawned that? I know Empire Records, it's been years since I've seen it, totally bombed at the box office, but like years later developed a cult classic.
Such a cult classic. And, you know, I didn't see it until way after it came out and it just blew my mind. But I was walking around in my neighborhood in Brooklyn and I was listening to the Gin Blossom song off the record Till I Hear It From You. And which has always been one of my favorite songs. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I was watching like whatever VH1 classic or whatever it is. And the music video for Till I Hear It From You came on. And I just remember like I'd never heard this song before. And I was just like immediately just like in love with this song. And I have loved that song my whole life. And it's just there's something about it. And those opening guitar chords, like it just like sends me into this state of euphoria. And I was listening to that and singing along to it in my neighborhood. And I was like, man, I wish my band, It Was Romance, could like cover this song. And then I was like, shit, I wish we could like cover every song from the Empire Records soundtrack. And I was like, how could that work? And then my brain being my brain was like, oh, well, I could do a show and blah, blah, blah. And like, I just immediately came up with this idea that like, what if I did this? Like, and then I spent a long time like kind of working about like, you know, how this would be and drafting a pitch for what the show would look like. And then it just, you know, evolved from there. And I was like, oh, I could do so many things. Like, A, I already own Corey's outfit from Empire Records and I just wear it on my own. Because I'm like that. Like the fuzzy sweater.
That's kind of your look.
It is. I wear that outfit
now,
all the time.
Now you're in a Cramps t-shirt, which rules. But like, that's kind of like,
I wear that all the time. And I was like, we could like act out scenes from the movie. And like, my friend was like, I'll bring a button maker. And I was like, holy shit.
Button makers pretty much rule. They're back.
I know. So it just kind of like became this whole huge thing. And then, you know, I thought of Jounce, which is Danny Tamborelli's band, like if you've seen Pete and Pete, so it like doesn't get much more 90s than that. Yeah. But his band and I, you know, we play shows together a lot and, you know, they're like family. And I just thought, you know what? The Empire Records soundtrack is such a wonderful combination of like all of these like badass female fronted bands songs. And then also these like, you know, more like straightforward kind of punk grunge songs that like I don't necessarily feel passionate enough to sing, you know, like I don't need to do those, but like I'd love to hear someone else do those. And so it was kind of like, oh hey, why don't you take like these five and like I'll take these five or six or whatever. These are really suited to our band sound. These are really suited to his band sound.
Yeah, there are certain It Was Romance, and we can play some It Was Romance later, has like kind of that kind of a little more melodic. You know, not that grunge wasn't melodic, and I think that's where like grunge makes for great covers. Yeah, I heard a Patti Smith cover of a Smells Like Teen Spirit earlier that was like, whoa!
Yeah, I
and totally stripped down. But it's there's a melodic sound to it. It was romance, a little bit more light. I want to say lighter. That sounds like a really poor adjective, right. But a little flowery, a little like poppy, a little less like a little like lyrically heavy, but not as dark as say something you might have heard out of like Nirvana or Pearl Jam or Soundgarden or.
Yeah, well, it's a different. Yeah. I think. I mean, you know, from my perspective, it's a different kind of angsty. I feel like there is you know what I mean? It's just a different. It's a different kind of angst because that angst is there, and I think I have a very like there is a Fiona Apple-y angst about the way that I can sing sometimes. And even when we recorded the album, I had to, it was very easy for it to start to sound totally insane because it was like, I will like yelp and just all sorts of like, I have a lot of emotions. So, which like translates on stage, but on the record.
Probably works really well also with the Tinder Live stuff. With Tinder Live is Lane's brainchild. And it really is kind of a brainchild.
Yeah.
You're basically it's kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Absolutely, yeah.
You get on stage and you'll have other people there with you who have like featured performers, panelists, if you will.
Yeah.
And you go through Tinder and you kind of engage the audience. Do I swipe left? Do I swipe
right?
But it's kind of you're just kind of looking at these profiles and just, it's like, not totally
all improvised.
And you know, you'll have three people on stage with you.
Yeah.
Other writers, comics, performers who are like telling you left or right. And,
right.
And,
yeah.
But tell me now, since we got on that topic, you were talking last time about maybe doing a tour because you took Tinder Live to like two other different cities in the East Coast. Is there an actual tour scheduled now?
Yeah, I am. God, I'm trying to remember when the last time we talked was, but when that was, but yeah, I was doing a lot of colleges and things like that. I'm trying to look at I can maybe like pull up dates in a second, but I'm going to in October. I guess that'll help if you hear October and you're in one of these cities and you want to go, you can find it on the internet. But I am going to New Hampshire. I'm going to Boston. I think Boston is like October 11th or 12th at the Wilbur Theater, and which is really awesome. And then I'm also going to be in, I believe it's San Antonio and Austin, Texas, in October as well. And then I'm also going all over like California. I'm going to be in Anaheim. I'm also going to be in Tacoma, Washington. Like I'm going to be just kind of all over the place. Oh, I'm also doing a show in Connecticut in October too. October's going to be a big.
It is all over, but you're hitting a lot of really cool, fun cities. Austin is a blast.
Yeah, I can't wait. And like Tacoma, I've never been up that way. It's like Tacoma and Seattle and all that stuff. It's like, yes.
Speaking
I'm excited.
Of 90s music.
And I'll be in LA and it's like all that's, you know, there's a lot of good towns and then it's like the rest of the year and then like it's, there'll be some international dates and things like that, which I'm
and
like,
Tinder
holy
going
crap.
International, like,
right?
I mean, obviously, Tinder, anyone can get on Tinder, but I don't know if outside the States it says, like, you know, there might be another kind of dating app or something like Tinder in another country.
Tinder. It's, I mean,
it's
just, I know
it's Tinder
what you mean.
Everywhere.
But you know what? Even if it's, I think so, because, okay, so I met a guy after a Tinder Live show who, like, I'm still friends with, but he was visiting there from Australia. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'm on Tinder. Like, and he saw it in Time Out New York. And he was like, oh, Tinder Live, I'll go check it out. And, like, it was like we ended up dating briefly.
This from the woman who isn't on Tinder. That was part of the show last time. I was like, okay, like, we were prepping for the last show. I was like, Delaine, you're going to, like, this will be part of the joke, too. I've never internet dated. And the whole story of this, but it's like, walk me through the stages of how this, and like, just like, pretend you're explaining to me how this works. And that's how we, like, were able to do something that was kind of visual over the radio.
Totally.
Too.
Yeah. And I'm back on now because I'm like single. So I'm like, I'm back on. And
you're
it's
not,
just like,
you're not just on Tinder for professional purposes.
Not just for the comedy show. No, I'm back on there for like my own purposes. And it's tough though, because I also started using OkCupid and like, I wasn't even on there 2 days and someone was like, oh my God, you're the girl from Tinder Live. And I was like, damn it.
You're
I can't
from
go anywhere.
Dating F show.
Yeah,
but like, congratulations then, because people are recognizing you. But
it's
no,
so, trust me, it's like I'll joke about that. But then my roommate was like, yeah, but also isn't that really cool? It's like, it's incredibly cool. Yeah, like no, I know it's cool, but it's still really like it's funny because you get known for like online dating, and then it's like hard to online date.
It's so you have to real life date then. Yeah. That would mean leaving the house, and that's scary.
No thanks. No thanks.
You're traveling to different cities. You'll have fun. I think that's you're going to great music cities, too. And since you're such a music person.
Yeah. And I can, like, vintage shop and, like, go to record stores and eat a lot. I know.
Yes. Vintage. Yeah. I have a thrift store problem. That note, I want to remind you guys that Here in Live goes now every Thursday at 7 live, and we rebroadcast every Friday at noon. So if you missed any of tonight's broadcast, or just you need to hear the whole thing over again, because you do, tune in tomorrow at noon. We're going to take a little music break. I have some things lined up. These songs aren't specific to necessarily to the soundtrack from Empire Records, but the bands, two of these bands I have in this little rock block, I'll call it, here, are featured on the soundtrack. And I think it's just they're good examples of music from those years, from like that year, that time frame, that kind of that genre within a genre of music of alternative. Totally. We're gonna kick this off with Toad the Wet Sprocket. I haven't heard this track in years. This is Fall Down.
Your glass. I think you've drunk
it at the end, and I don't know why.
The happiest breakup and move out song ever, we decided.
I love it so much.
That was good from Better Than Ezra. If I was going to play Better Than Ezra tonight, I was going to play that one. Before that, we heard Molly, the album version from Sponge. And before that was So the Rex Rocket with Fall Down. I'm here with Lane Moore. So we talked about Tinder Live, what it is in the tour. We talked about it was romance in the show. Tomorrow night, the 90s theme. And this could be a theme, like an ongoing thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. If I can talk about this. You're going to be, you told me before the show started.
Yeah.
We did our briefing.
Yes.
That you're actually going to be like kind of polling people a little bit to see what other kind of soundtrack shows they would like to like go see. So, for example, Singles came out in 92. That was a movie with a really popular soundtrack accompanying that. So that might be an example of another one.
Which I love, but I wish there were more female-fronted bands on that. It's pretty much just like Seattle, so it's just like a lot of white dudes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I like a lot of the songs on the single soundtrack, but for me, it's like, I go to like, ooh, the 10 Things I Hate About You soundtrack would be really cool, or like the Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack, or like things like that.
And but that shows you the 90s, though, how quickly things were shifting.
It really shifted. The beginning of the early
90s. That was 92, and Empire Records is 95 to 96. So in a four-year-ish span.
Totally.
And I remember there were, you know, female-fronted bands out there, but they were getting more play, and they were being featured in film.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were, you know, that's what was happening. So that tells you how things were. That's the thing about the 90s. And I was on a job recently with some younger people, like in their early 20s, and they're talking about music and, like, you know, the Gen X music, which is kind of what this is, sort of.
Right, sure.
And it's, you know, there was sort of like, it was very political, and there was a, you know, not really an anger under it, but like this, there were cultural shifts happening, and, you know, at a mile, like really quickly, and that's reflected in the music. And also, you know, people had certain demographics had to be a little bit.
Think about that. I've never thought about that.
You have to be that much stronger of a personality to be heard. Like if you're a female or a person of color, so you know, you had to be like Courtney Love if you're gonna get Hole.
Right.
That'd be that real.
Oh, I've definitely thought about doing entire Hole albums.
They toured a few years back. Go for it.
Yeah, I know.
People are listening.
I played with Luscious Jackson for a little bit.
Oh, really?
Like got to play them. Yeah, because they were like getting ready to do a thing, and yeah, it was just like really cool to go over to their house and like
Luscious Jackson was awesome.
They were so awesome. Yeah,
great, with a great band name too. But yeah, things were shifting, and things are shifting a lot now. And I think we're going to see it in the music. It's just music isn't made the same way or put out there in the same way that it used to be. Kind of take something like Radio Free Brooklyn, which is on the internet but freeform and independent. So, hey, it doesn't matter what my sponsors say about that song. I don't have sponsors.
Yeah.
Well, we do. You can. Hey, segue. We are a nonprofit now. We are official 501c3. Please, I invite you to flirt with the donate button. Write-offs, people. Write that stuff off. I want to talk a little bit about some really cool. I just want to mention while Lane is here. Because we're kind of focusing a little bit on the music. You had a write-up. Your band was featured in Billboard magazine recently.
Yeah.
Something like that. So what was... I'm like, there's so much information.
It was 16 female-fronted bands you should know.
16 female-fronted bands you should know also. Wasn't there also... where was it? You were featured... It was LGBTQA, I think, fronted bands. There was a... You know, people... bands made up of at least partially of LGBT people. I think it was Romance was also featured.
You had
great real estate in that Billboard.
You're
above the Savages,
good.
Who I love, but like
which was so cool to be like included with all these bands I really really love. It was amazing. It felt really nice.
It's great. The band is a lot of fun. Like go and check them out, people. And the music is available for downloads. It's on Spotify. You can, you know what? Just shell out a few dollars, buy it.
Just do it on Bandcamp. The album's $7.
Bandcamp,
it's worth it.
iTunes, Bandcamp. From what I understand, and every artists are always telling me that's like if you really want your money
to go to most of the band.
Yeah.
That's Band totally camp. It. Yeah, absolutely. 1000%. Yeah, they're the best.
And Lane, you know, I think it's appropriate you're getting all these write-ups because you write also. Yeah. You've written for Cosmopolitan. You got a GLAAD award. I think we mentioned that last time for your writing in Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, I wrote for The Onion for a long time. New Yorker, Shouts and Murmurs. Like, most of the stuff I've done is comedy writing, but yeah, then went into Cosmo Media.
You recently wrote something, kind of an analysis of Reese Witherspoon, which I'm mentioning it because I think the conversations that resulted out of that really fun. Basically, like you're basically calling her like you basically is like Reese Witherspoon. Spoon is punk AF. Punk as fuck. I'll say it. But you kind of looked at her because she does have a certain look. She's a very bright-eyed, blonde, southern accent, very, and she kind of has, she might seem like kind of like candy, sugar-coated, kind of sweet.
Seem like kind of a throwaway.
Totally, but she's not. If you look at some of the roles, and even some of the roles she's had, if you look how she plays them,
there's a lot of really progressive, shit in there that you're just like, holy crap. We were talking about Freeway, and like, Freeway, oh my God, what a revelation Freeway is.
She was young, though. In that movie, Freeway, we've decided is just magical. because that's a good script.
It's like Law and Order. If Olivia Benson was a teenager and not a cop and troubled, I don't know. It's just like because she's like a superhero,
and she is, and they totally play up certain things about her, like the fact that she looks innocent and she had like she's ultra southern sounding,
and she's like sexually active, and she's like they basically made it seem like she like can't read and like she has problems at school.
It's basically the Little Red Riding Hood story,
absolutely
retold a certain way. Little Red Riding Hood isn't sweet and innocent. I mean, one of my favorite lines is when she looks at this guy and she goes, "Do you want me to stab you a whole bunch of times? I will stab you a whole bunch of times." I've been dying to say that all day.
I was like, that's actually
I'll
pretty
stab
good.
You a bunch of times.
That actually is a really awesome impression.
That's what she does. I will stab you, mister, a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
That's what she, like, but that movie, it's Freeway. And Reese, I think it's one of the, it's the first thing I ever saw her do. It might have been one of her first roles. She might have been in her late teens still.
But she
plays like a 15-year-old or something like that. But it's Little Red Riding Hood story. And Brooke Shields is in it. And it makes her punk as fuck too. The whole movie is just kind of like, and it's a very kind of 90s way of storytelling where we're kind of,
I think Amanda Plummer plays her mom.
It looks like it's a B movie because it's kind of stripped down and bare, but they paid attention to like location, location and real basics and just good direction, and it was all really intense, and it works if we were talking about this before the show. You had the opinion I kind of share with you, if it had been a male in the lead role it wouldn't have been like trashed initially and thought of as this B movie.
Because it's like this, like, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's just this incredible, incredible movie. And I just can't help but wonder if it's because it was a teenage girl, but it was kind of like tossed aside because it's just this incredible film.
It's hard to look at that if you have certain gender stereotypes going on in your head. And then you look at Reese Witherspoon, who looks like should be this bright and sunny little kid, blonde, and she's just like, woo.
But it was just so, I mean, it's just like, good God. It just has this really, really punk rock element that, you feel the same thing when you're watching, like, Tank Girl, or when you're watching, like, Fight Club. Even though it's funny, because Fight Club's kind of, as I've gotten older, I've been like, this isn't as good as I remember. But I remember, watching it when I was a kid and being like, whoa, nothing's punker than this.
That is amazing. Totally didn't know if he was real or not. Was he real? Yeah, no.
Everything's dirty. Love it.
Yeah, and
still good, but it's just not like I remember seeing it.
You wrote this whole article, basically, like, you kind of broke down a lot of her movies.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch them all for like a couple days and just like nothing but Reese Witherspoon, and you just get a different picture of her.
Did binge watching Reese Witherspoon do something like to you, or does it like? I mean, I know you're very about you made a point, like you just mentioned, you're going to do 90s music, but I want women fronted bands, and you like you want to make sure like does that?
Yeah,
do
I mean, and I'm okay with
something?
I'm okay with some that are not like some of. Like one of the songs that we're going to do tomorrow night at the show is a Gin Blossom song, and I love the Gin Blossoms, and I'm totally okay, and I actually really love covering really incredible songs by like dude fronted bands, like I really do. But wait, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Oh, I was like what was it, like binge watching Reese Witherspoon movies? It's just like from like that kind of feminist perspective, someone who wants to like really promote like the presence of women, like watching some of these movies, which might, are you desperately trying to find the feminist element, or is it just like, no, this is what it is?
No, because all the ones that I binge watched were ones that, almost all of them were ones that I'd seen before, and it was like, you know, I like American Psycho I'd seen before, and Cruel Intentions I'd seen before, and like a lot, it was just like, but I think you just, it's so easy because, you know, Hollywood was so kind of quick to peg her as like, oh, she's just like a rom-com lead, whatever. And it's like, no, she's always played really strong. Like even in Pleasantville, she was like a teenage girl who loved sex and was going to be unapologetic about the fact that she loved having sex, and who cares?
Right.
Totally. You know, then she kind of, at the end, there's a moment where she's like, I don't want to be a slut anymore. And it's like a little bit weird because it's like, wait, there's nothing wrong with being a slut. But then you also see her being like, I want to focus on myself and I don't care about boys anymore. And like, if you kind of look at it through that lens, it's a little bit less like sex shamey and a little bit more like, you know what, I'm going to focus on myself and like, what do I want out of school? And it was like, oh, that's cute.
we can accept that resolution suddenly.
Yeah, I was like, end. Okay, fine.
But okay, so on the subject, off of the magic that is Freeway, everyone watch Freeway. You have a book deal that's in the works. You've been, Lane has been writing for years, like we mentioned, said before, Cosmopolitan, Onion, just did this article on Witherspoon. Like, I'm always seeing stuff that you're writing popping up in my feed, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, so we're able to talk about now the book deal.
Yeah. So I'm writing a book for Simon & Schuster called How to Be Alone. I'm really, really excited about it.
And we have a working title we're allowed to talk about.
I know. And it's just, it's a book about loneliness and feeling really alone, and me coming from kind of an extreme version of being alone most of my life, and, you know, how it feels to navigate the world like that. And I've realized that, you know, even people who don't come from the kind of like extreme alone that I come from still feel that in this age when like we're all supposed to feel more connected than ever, and we don't. Really, I just know a lot of people, it's like, even if they have good families and have good friends and have boyfriends, like they still feel this kind of alone that we're told we're not supposed to feel anymore, and we really do, and no one talks about it.
That's really profound, but I think in some ways it would make sense to assume that we do feel more alone because we're plugged in, but plugged in doesn't mean connected.
Exactly,
it can be a lifeline for some people who maybe can't physically get out and be near other people.
Yeah,
it's a lifeline if you're. There are people for certain, you know, people who are physically disabled and can't easily get around to be in the presence of another person.
Totally,
for someone who maybe lives in a very remote or rural area.
Yeah,
you know,
or mentally disabled and can't get around.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, you know. So it's
shout
it's
out
like,
to the agoraphobes listening.
Yay.
I'm friends with a lot of you. I get it.
Shout out to my agoraphobes.
It's crew. Such a thing. I get it, man.
Agoraphobe crew.
I like, so get it.
Is that
yeah.
a contradiction in terms in agoraphobe?
Right, like, but yeah, a collective crew though.
There you go.
I'm with
but
you.
It's just like, I don't know what you think of that. Do you think it makes when sense to say that we're as connected?
I mean, obviously I don't because I'm writing a book about loneliness, but you know, it's just so tough because, you know, you just look online and it just seems like everybody else is more social than you and happier than you are and is living like a better life. And it's like, I don't know, I try to be pretty transparent on social media with being like, hey, like, yeah, good things happen to me and I go and I do good things, but like, I'm still sad a lot and I still feel alone a lot. And it's not, you know, not everything you see on social media is like the full story.
Right. And I understand not wanting to share everything on social media because, hey, you're allowed a little bit of your own time. But I appreciate that you're... when you or anybody just basically says, hey, I'm not okay today or had a bad day, or it's
yeah.
like, you know, because it that I think that's more helpful than the other.
I think
it gives you more accurate.
Yeah. I'm always trying to straddle the line though, because it's like, it's tough because I don't want to bum anybody out. I don't want to be bring anybody down. But then it's also like, I want to talk about it because I don't want to make it seem like I'm somebody who it's just like, man, she's always doing awesome stuff. It's like, you know, I mean, there are weeks when it's like, yeah, I might have like, you know, like it was romances in this cool list and I'm doing this cool show and I'm on this cool TV show or whatever. But it's like, I could have cried myself to sleep every single night that week. And I feel like it's important to tell people that because, I mean, also just to like keep things in perspective, because you always think like, oh, if I had this thing this other person has, then I'd be happy, then I'd be okay, right. Then I'd be fine, then I wouldn't feel like this. And it's like,
no, that's what I thought too. And it's not that you're not grateful for the good things you are, but it's like, I just think it's important to tell people that it's like, even when you have those things, like you can still feel totally alone. You can still feel like you don't have X, Y, Z, or
you gotta
whatever,
be okay, you know, with yourself, because things can go away.
Yep.
Yeah. You gotta be okay with energy.
And also,
you are,
even when they're there, even when they're there, that's not gonna radically change everything. If you're like super depressed, like you could win a Grammy, but if you go home at night, you're still depressed. Right. You know, it's like, it's wonderful you won a Grammy.
I think it's wonderful you talk, like, that needs to be talked about, because that, you know, people strive for things thinking it's going to make them happy. And, you know, people look to social media and it's like, no, okay, wait, this person has a bad day too. So it's okay if I have a bad day. It doesn't make me a weirdo.
No, and it also
that I'm not happy all the time.
And it also doesn't make you, I think also that, like, it doesn't make it impossible for good things to still happen. You know what I mean? Because I'll think that too. And it's important to hold both parts, where it's like, you can be in a lot of pain and good things can happen to you and you're still in a lot of pain. It doesn't take away from the good things and it doesn't make the bad things disappear. You know?
Well said. So, okay, the book, How to Be Alone. We're getting like deep here, but I don't want to overlook the fact that you've got this great book deal. Simon & Schuster, is there a tentative or at all?
I think it's supposed
date?
To be summer 2018. So next summer. So next year.
Summer,
I believe.
2018. Are we hoping for like a book tour? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Of course, there'll be a book tour.
Hopefully it'll happen after
cool
the
thing.
Tinder Live tour.
I know.
And then there'll be an It Was Romance tour finally.
Yeah. So exactly, yeah, because we're working on the second album right now and hoping to have that out
so
pretty soon.
For over the holidays, just get her some good luggage. It's some good luggage. Like,
yeah, no, for real. I have some like soft, like tote bags that it's just like, I just lug everywhere. I don't have like hard pack luggage because I don't like checking it.
Yeah.
I just have like one duffel bag and I just pack like 5 shirts. I'm like, we'll figure
lots
it out.
Lots of foldable clothing.
Like, yeah, roll, no, roll, absolutely.
Cotton.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if somebody wants to buy me luggage, I'm not going to be like, don't do it. Like, it's fine. Send me luggage. Send me snacks.
Cute luggage, though. Like,
yeah, cute luggage. Like, with, like, little slots on it. I don't know. Hearts. Anything with hearts.
Flowers.
Anything with stars.
Flowers.
Ooh, yeah, like, 60s.
Glitter.
Flower power.
Glitter.
Oh, does this luggage exist with slots and flower power?
Someone needs to make
glitter.
It now. I know people are listening. You guys.
Please do it. Please
do this. Email me, rachelc at radiofreebrooklyn.org. We'll arrange a shipping for Lane.
Yay.
Lane, you got something at the studio. What is
it? Yeah, it has like just like Harold and Maude has worked in. I'm just mapping it out in my head.
It'll be like, Rachel, your guest receiving luggage.
Yeah, at this location. Thank you.
What is Here and Now doing now?
Oh, that'd be so beautiful, though. It'd be so lovely. I get this weird hodgepodge luggage from some like beautiful weirdo. I like that.
Lane likes luggage and plants. Lane likes plants.
Yeah, Rachel just gave me some really cool plants. I'm so excited. I want to fill my whole apartment with plants.
Belated birthday. You can, if those things get enough light, then, and if I can like find more pots, you can have all the little babies that come off of my plants, because
I just want to have a room full of plants. I would really like that. I miss having like kind of wide open space. I love being just anytime I can be around nature or plants or animals.
I'm this lifelong New Yorker and I love it here, but you kind of, especially if you live here full time, you need to get out of here like quarterly.
Uh-huh.
Like some, like just like just upstate or something where there's grass and trees. Stuff.
Yeah.
So I would also like to remind y'all to stay tuned for Frequency Theory from 8 to 10 tonight with Tom Tenney. And my guest has been Lane Moore. And we're going to remind you one more time, we got the Tinder Live tour coming up. You're hitting a bunch of cities. I think if someone just searched Tinder Live.
Yeah, if you go to, it's Tinder Live on Instagram, and then it's also Tinder Live on Facebook. And you can also find It Was Romance on Instagram at It Was Romance Band. And me, I'm at Hello Lane Moore on like every social media thing.
Every single one.
Yes. Yeah. All of them. I've got a lot of them. And then, you know, and the show is still every single month in Brooklyn at Littlefield. So you can come see it there.
Yes,
if
Littlefield's
you're here.
A fun place. And the book is called How to Be Alone, Simon & Schuster, due out the summer of 2018. You better get cracking. No, just kidding.
I am, dude. Trust.
Check out Lane's social media where she'll post links to the stuff she writes, which is absolutely wonderful. And of course, the band is It Was Romance. The show is tomorrow night at Arlene's Grocery on the lovely Lower East Side, celebrating the music of Empire Records soundtrack. That's sort of 90s era music. And on that note, I'm going to leave you with some It Was Romance. And on before that, we're going to get into another 90s jam. This is Live. This was a classic.
Yay.
Can you guess what song it is? It wasn't the one I was going to play, but it was the one that like I was able to dig up out of the MP3 archive.
Oh God, I know the one, but I can't remember the name of it, but I think I know the one.
Okay, this is Lightning Crashes. Thank you, Lane, so much for coming by. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks, guys.
Rebroadcast at noon tomorrow.
Down the hall. Most of my friends I never see. They live a ways outside of here. Then again, what if it's just a waste of time?